What's up, everybody? Happy Monday. Most of you are probably getting this on Monday, but you might be listening to it later in the week. It'll still be relevant. Got a lot of great comments from the episodes the last couple weeks. You know, the wrong hobby for you, and you name it. A lot of people saying how it hit home. A lot of people talking about how they felt the same way. It's nice to hear it. I'm going to make a hard left here. It's an interesting thing, right? Because some of the comments I've gotten are hey, you know, the hobby's different than what it was. The hobby's in a weird spot. The hobby's, you name it, right? And I get the impression that people have an interesting kind of, you know, take on my take of the hobby, right? That, you know, I have sold a lot of stuff, sure. Have I soured on the space? No. What I'm trying to do is trying to point out the interesting stuff about like breaking and, you know, fanatics and what they're doing and coming into the space and, you know, turning it into sort of a, you know, casino atmosphere. And that kind of bleeds into the modern stuff, right? I mean, I even posted a story that a lot of people liked over the weekend. It was like, you know, I picked up something in an auction that's never going to see the light of day again. You know, I'll die owning it. And, you know, my son will hopefully pass it on, you name it. It's one of those kind of things. And it really got me thinking, because at the same time as I'm winning one of these, what I consider historical pieces in an auction, I'm watching the NBA. I'm watching, you know, MLB. I'm watching, you know, Aaron Judge, who had a horrible first month, just turned it on. The last 2 weeks, he's just been ridiculous. He's now, you know, I think second in the American League in home runs. He's turned it on, has like 13 home runs. And, you know, and what's funny is in my brain, I immediately start thinking like, I wonder if his cards went down a little bit when he started off cold. And I wonder if now is a good time to buy cards. And it's funny because people in the hobby, the brain kind of goes there, right? It's almost like, you know, the sports betting, that link that, hey, betting on players, betting on using the cards to bet on players, to bet on teams. It's sort of something that, you know, I would love to see actually happen. There is no, you know, direct link, but it's funny how our brain goes there. And if that's the way the brain's going to go, then there is a, you know, a place for the modern stuff. I mean, there definitely is, right? There is a place for the, you know, the flip game. And I don't want to be seen as just like completely crapping on it, right? And, you know, so I wanted to come on and talk about that a little bit, right? Because I'm famous, well, infamous, El Guapo, for my sell takes, right? And for the most part, they've been right. I think I said sell Joker. And, you know, some of his cards have gone up. I might have put that in an episode. I definitely didn't do a video about it. And, you know, he's a different kind of character, right? Because, you know, he was a second-round draft pick. There weren't as many cards made of him. You know, the demand kind of grew for him over time. And it took years and years for him to develop into the player that he is. So his cards were kind of underappreciated. So there was that ability to kind of buy low. That's different than almost everybody else that comes into the league now. It doesn't matter. If you're a top draft pick now, your prices are high right off the bat. You're paying $1 million for a Wemby card. Where is the appreciation in that? But it got me thinking. And it's a fun question. And I kind of wish I had, you know, Andrew on here to, you know, ask him, because he's, you know, the NBA guy. He watched the games, bro. But with the Joker being knocked out, and, you know, it's funny. I wonder whether his card prices will get knocked down a peg. I believe they probably will, mostly because there are a lot of people who bought into the Joker hype. You know, three MVPs in the last 4 years is pretty amazing. But bought into the, hey, you know, he's going to win multiple championships. Imagine he wins a championship this year. Think about the four-year run that he's had with, you know, with three MVPs and two championships. You start to talk about, you know, top 10 player all time, and that still may happen. But I have a feeling there are some people who jumped on that ship just hoping for that, and now will probably jump off. He has a crazy fan base, so, you know, a crazy collector base, I should say. So maybe not too much down, but with his exit, we're in an interesting spot here, right? There are four teams left, and while the Celtics have won championships before, clearly, and the Mavs won with Dirk, the players on these teams haven't won, right? And if you go across the four teams, it's an interesting spot for the hobby now, right? I mean, obviously the Celtics with Tatum, like that would be a big deal, I think. You know, Tatum has been one of these guys that just, you know, can't break through, right? But, you know, there are people who believe him to be a top five NBA player. I'm not one of them, but there are people who believe that. I think he's, you know, somebody who has never really lived up to the expectations, but winning a championship would potentially likely change how people think about him. And I'm going to use this probably multiple times this episode. It would set a floor for him. He's someone who has won a championship. If he wins a championship and continues to put up numbers, that's different than continuing to put up numbers and not winning a championship. That's a big difference. It just is, right? It's difficult. There are players who never won championships and were great players and are considered top 75 NBA players. Patrick Ewing, with the Knicks being eliminated, just somebody who, comes to mind. When you win a championship, though, you're thought of in a different category. Now, playing against the Celtics, the Pacers, Tyrese Halliburton. It's a guy who, was not the highest draft pick, right? I remember the Knicks picked 8 that year and took Obi Toppin, who's now on the Pacers, same draft that Halliburton was in. Anyway, that's a guy who also, they win a championship. He's somebody who I haven't heard many people talk about, right? Especially this year, right? I mean, there were 6th seed. Nobody's expecting too much. I think he led the league in assists this year. He can score. He came in and had a game 7 performance, in Madison Square Garden that probably knocks his reputation up a notch. And if he's able to do the same and knock out the Celtics and then happen to win a championship, and he is, it's his team. There are other good players on the team. Siakam's already won a championship. It's got some good chemistry there. Watch them, play against the Knicks. Halliburton could be somebody who, puts up also great numbers, but now has a championship and is thought about in a different regard, right? I mean, he's never been spoken about the same way this year SGA was talked about, Edwards was talked about, Luka's been talked about. He's always been sort of below that, but talk about winning a championship, all of a sudden, that's somebody who again, a floor. On the West, I mean, you're either going to have Anthony Edwards or Luka in the finals. For the hobby, that's an amazing thing. Let me say that again. For the hobby, that's an amazing thing. Because there are a lot of people who have cards of both of those guys. There are a lot of people who have money invested in both of those guys. You want to see success for them. For Luka, it's sort of a continued progression, right? I mean, and it's what people have been expecting, what people have been hoping for. Now, if he gets knocked out in the Western Conference Finals, all right, is it progression? Is that team going to get better? If he wins a championship, I mean, he put together this last playoff series numbers that, I mean, have only been done a couple of times, and for the most part, people thought he had a bad series. And that's because the numbers he was putting up, the guy almost averaged 35 points, per game this year. For the hobby, there may be more money invested in Luka than anybody else. And he's a 2018 rookie. It's 2024. That's 7 seasons. Is it almost make or break time? Are we close enough to that? Maybe next year. Maybe who knows? Especially with all the money invested in Luka. But then the flip side, if he wins, now you got somebody who is, clearly top 5, top 3 player in the league. I think he finished in the top 3 in MVP voting this year. I think he finished 3rd. Scoring champ. Add to that a championship, and he's coming into his prime now, and the interesting stuff, right? So if you're holding Luka cards, this is a fun time. Here he is, potentially one of 4 teams left. And Ant-Man, let me tell you, I mean, I said sell Ant-Man. I stick by that because, they may win. And I even said in my video they may win, but his cards, they've just been high. Like, people, they were down a little. Yes, they were down a bit. They were high when he came out. Like I said, I remember going to the National and people, I'm buying Anthony Edwards, paying a ton for it. And you know what? For those people who are in high, this is a great time, right? Because, one, you could probably exit and potentially get back what you paid, if not a little bit more, if you're not a believer in Anthony Edwards long term. And two, more importantly, if he wins a championship, the same thing, right? It now sets a floor. You got a player who's got a lot of great years ahead of him, exciting, Jordan-esque, with now a ring. The negative on him, I think the dude shot 6 for 24 yesterday. That is a good team. Sometimes he's the star. Sometimes Karl Anthony Towns is the one that steps up. It's an interesting thing to watch, right? A fun one, just a little aside on this, is if Dallas wins, is Kyrie buyable again? He becomes somebody who is a major piece on winning multiple rings on different teams. Now, you could argue he wasn't the alpha on either of them. Does it change how people look at Kyrie and him from a card investment standpoint, an all-time player type standpoint? It's just a fun one because when you see all the ESPN stuff, when we see all the posts today, it's going to be Tatum's head, Halliburton's head, Luka's head, and Ant-Man's head. There are some other players that could potentially see a boost from this if you're looking at it from a card standpoint. Karl Anthony Towns is potentially one of them. Hell, Jaden McDaniels was somebody who I don't think anybody even thought about from a card perspective. Now, when I talk about someone like Jaden McDaniels, I talk about the interesting part of the hobby, right? The interesting part of the hobby, which is anybody who's buying Jaden McDaniels now is most likely buying to sell in a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, when they get into the finals, when they win the finals. I don't think there's too many people out there buying Jaden McDaniels to hold forever. I mean, maybe his family, maybe he has some cousins, something like that, possibly. But that's the fun part of this, right? That's still there. And if that's what you enjoy doing, go for it. And with the NBA games on, being played like this, and now this rotation where you have the Western Conference Finals, Eastern Conference Finals, and you don't have LeBron, Steph, KD, Giannis, Joker, you don't have any of the usual suspects. That's pretty cool. It's pretty cool for the hobby. It's pretty cool for cards. And as we roll from this into football, before you know it, the finals are going to happen. The NBA is going to be crazy. It's going to be all kinds of craziness. And then we're going to start up football, and everybody's going to be buying quarterbacks. And then baseball's going to roll into the World Series, and who knows what's going to happen there. What's fun about it is it's not my favorite part of the hobby. It's just not. But to ignore it is silly, right? I came up with a title for this: The Hobby is Strong, Even Though It Skips Leg Day, right? And what I mean by that is, I mean, what do I know? I don't work out. But you get the point, right? Like, you know, you're supposed to go to the gym and work out everything, the total body. The hobby is, you know, you're working out, you know, you do biceps and back and triceps and whatever the hell, you know, like you got to do legs, right? Nah, I will skip legs. Just skipping the legs, leg day is what that means is like the longevity of it, right? Like for the part of the hobby that's all about your flips, you're not worried about long-term, not worried about the whole picture, not worried about all kinds of craziness. You're just worried about like right now, right? It's like, just do a little like look good, no cardio, you know, like no real strength, right? It's fine. If that's what you enjoy, go right ahead. If you enjoy doing this modern flip game, great. I watch content from the Dallas show, and at least half of what's going on there is that. At least half of the buys and sells, it's buys for repacks, buys. At least half of what's being bought at that show is going to be moved again in the next month. How about that? Think about that, right? That's not something that someone's buying for long-term gains, right? You're able to skip leg day. You're not worried about your long-term gains. It's quick. And that's fine, right? The repacks, the buy now and sell, people buying quarterbacks so they could sell it at National, people buying Jaden McDaniels so they could sell it in a week or two. You know, people taking their risk on Anthony Edwards, hoping that he would win last night as he did, and then, you know, continue on. It's a part of the space. And why I say the hobby is strong is because if that's what you enjoy, great. If it's not, take a look at some of the auctions that are ending in this month and have ended in the past week. Look at the jerseys that are selling for millions of dollars. Look at the cards that are selling for hundreds of thousands of dollars. Look at just all of the stuff that's out there. And the cliche is there's no wrong way to do this. There really isn't, right? And it's okay to start mixing some. And maybe there are people out there who, and I maybe I'm a little too dismissive, right? Maybe it's you know, those flippers. But maybe they're flipping and they're putting some of their money in some vintage cards, or they're putting some of their money in high-end pieces. And maybe it doesn't have to be vintage. Maybe as some of these modern guys win their championships and continue to set that floor, maybe they're buying Patrick Mahomes cards because they think that's a safe long-term hold. Ooh, I hit my light over here. Careful. Maybe they're buying, I don't know, Tom Brady. Maybe they're buying Michael Jordan, LeBron. You know, not exactly vintage, right? More modern. But maybe they're putting in those, you know, that money that they're making from flipping into higher end stuff. By the way, I did the same thing myself. I used the COVID flips, you know, those prisms that I graded myself and bought higher end cards. And I come in here and I get the impression from some of the DMs that, you know, people think I'm almost soured on the space. I'm not. And let me make sure that everybody understands. I think the space is very healthy. I think that the long-term hobby is very healthy. I'm nervous about one portion of it, one path. And that's the forward-facing path, that casino path that I talk about, right? But if you just forget about that for a second and forget about those quick skipping leg days, forget about the quick, you know, putting lipstick on, and really think about it from a long-term perspective, right? There are cards that I'll give you an example, right? Take a look at a chart for a 1933 Gaudi Babe Ruth in low to mid-grade. Use a PSA 4, for example, right? If you just look at a long-term chart on that card, what you're going to see is this, and if you're listening, I have my hand on the screen going slowly up from the bottom left corner up towards the top right. A slow growing chart, similar to like Berkshire Hathaway stock, right? A slow grower. I own one of these cards. I own a 4.5. It's one of the cards I paid the most for because I bought it. Listen here, guys. I bought it not at the peak, but I bought it when cards were high. I paid $30,000 for it, $30,600, I think, all in, for a 4.5. Now, I believe after I bought it, prices were still coming down, but I didn't sell it. I didn't take a loss on it because I realized that sometimes charts do little wavy things like this. They go up, they go down, they go up, they go down. But if you pan out and you look at the chart, long enough chart, you're going to see it just goes up slowly. Yeah, there's little bumps in the road, right? So I was watching, I think it was Robert Edwards' auction last night, had the same card in a 4, in an older holder. So mine's a 4.5 and this one's a 4. And it was just one sale, but I was watching it. Because it's a comparison, right? Now, 4s of this card, they're close to 4.5, but obviously not as good as a 4. And, you know, eye appeal matters and the whole deal. But previously, I would expect a PSA 4 of this card to sell in the 20s. That's just where I think it would be, right? Because that's where I think it is right around now, right? I think that's just kind of where it is. I think it might have been a little higher, you know, in the 2021 kind of run. Anyway, to make a long story short, the card sold for $30,000 last night, all in with buyer's premium and the whole nine yards, right? So not a bad price, especially when I'm sitting here thinking to myself, all right, I have a 4.5. So if the 4, no, obviously we're being silly, right? But if the 4 is over 30, I paid 30 for my 4.5. I'm doing okay. Finally. You know what I mean? Right? Finally. I held it. And I have a feeling that I'm going to hold that card for a very, very, very long time. And when I eventually sell the thing, if I ever sell it, it'll probably follow the chart straight up. So I'm trying to find here, guys, you know, while I talk about this, should have been a little bit better prepared. I'm trying to find sort of like a chart on 4s, 4.5s on this, just to kind of, you know, have it at the ready. But yeah, so what you're seeing here is a four, just for comparison, sold for $20,000 in 2021, then in 2021, 28,800, 25, 26, and then it kind of came down. You saw one sell for like 18, 21, 24, and now look, 30. So just like I'm talking about, right? You go a little ups, little downs, but ultimately it's a card that's going to do one of these, because if you scroll back enough in the prices, in 2019, it was a $10,000 card. In 2020, 11, 17, 20, 28, then took a little dip down, but now it's back up to 30, right? So point being here, that's just one card. There are segments of this space that don't care about repacks and breaking and the whole deal. And that's sort of like the backbone of this, right? There are a ton of people who are buying and selling, who are, you know, grabbing these cards and holding these cards and just sitting, watching them, you know, kind of slowly grow over time. And because there's that, there's plenty of space for anybody else who wants to do the flip game, who wants to do the buy low, sell high, maybe gamble a little bit. Hell, we watched Ciblez basically crying for his bets. OKC lost, the Knicks lost. But then at the same time, you see Backer bet $100,000 that the Wolves are going to win, and then they win, right? I mean, different strokes for different folks, right? People like different things. And maybe there are people out there listening now who have come in the hobby the last couple of years who came in it for a little bit of excitement. Nothing wrong with that. And maybe the entire story I just told about Babe Ruth, you know, Gaudi, yellow, number 53, it's the opposite of excitement for you, right? It's not what you're here for. You don't want to buy something and just sit on it slow. It's the same thing with stocks. Same thing. I have stocks that pay me dividends and the price doesn't really change too much. I have friends who are like, that's boring. I want to have a little more risk. I want to have a little more, you know, appetite for risk. I want to be able to put some money in something and actually turn it into something else. How's that different than, you know, people basically buying repacks, or people doing a flip game, or people buying, you know, Anthony Edwards or Tatum or Jaylen Brown, that we didn't mention, you know, on the hope that maybe they win a championship and maybe they're able to sell that card, you know, to somebody else. What's funny about it is, and I'll end with this, I'm already at 22 minutes, because I could probably do 15 episodes on this, right? I'm guilty of it myself. A lot of the old heads like me come on and say, that's not how you grow the hobby. You don't 10X the hobby this way. You get somebody who comes in and is going to lose money. Burbank did a very good, you know, the Card Father did a very good live, about 10-minute video. I'm sure it's on his page. You can take a look at it. I linked it to my story about breaking and how breaking shouldn't be the backbone or the face of the hobby, because it's disappointment and the whole deal. Well, guess what? There are people who day trade all the time, right? Penny stocks, you name it. That's just part of the hobby. There are people who buy, you know, mutual funds also, and they hope to grow their portfolio slowly over time. But there's a whole other side. I mean, forget about the meme stocks and all that stuff. There's a whole other side that's a quicker option game, you name it, of the market. I don't hear people coming in saying that shouldn't be allowed because no one new is going to come in. Well, guess what? It's the same thing. On every trade there's a winner and there's a loser, right? The stock is going to go up or down. Someone's betting on it going up. Someone's betting on it going down. There's people who short stocks. There's people who buy stocks. People who buy options, calls, puts, you name it. There are people who basically day trade on these things. And if there's day trading on stocks, I don't see a problem with there being this kind of quick, flippy, I don't call it day trading, but on cards, yeah, someone's going to lose. But that's what happens. And I've done it myself, and maybe I have to back up on it a little bit, because, I mean, look, every day more and more people invest in the stock market, and the same stuff's going on there. There are different appetites for risk, and there are different investment vehicles in there. And I don't want to compare stocks to cards, but you understand what I'm doing, right? It's a very different space. The liquidity is not the same, and the like. I'm just talking now high-level narrative. With people like me speak, you know, I'm going to have 1,000 people play this and watch it and listen to it, and I want to make sure you understand where I'm coming from. I don't love breaking. I don't love, you know, day trading penny stocks either. It's not my way of playing the stock market. It's not my way of playing the game, but plenty of people do it. And as long as they understand the risk, as long as they're, you know, they understand what it is that they're doing, there are people out there who want to have, well, you know, they have an appetite for a greater risk. What's wrong with that in the hobby? As long as you understand what you're getting into, as long as you understand what you're doing, as long as you understand the long term. And when I come out and make a video and say, sell your Ant-Man cards, sure, about 80% of people agree. There are 20% who are angry at me. And usually those 20% are the ones that are in this for a short-term gain. They're the ones who just bought Anthony Edwards and are hoping that he wins a couple more games that they can sell it to someone else a little bit higher. Now, it brings to mind that greater fool theory that where's the value in it if you're just looking to sell it to someone else who's going to pay more, right? As long as everybody understands that's what's going on, I have no problem with it. It's just one part of it. And I think a lot of the modern cards are being made and marketed for exactly that reason. Not for long-term holds, but for quick hits to be put in repacks, for people to buy now and sell quickly. And I think maybe we got to give people who are doing this a little more credit, because look, I'm sure a lot of people who come in and try to talk about this are doing it for the right reasons. They're trying to protect the hobby, trying to protect people, trying to have people who come in for long term, like they're going to be in. If they come in and they get killed and they lose all their money in the first couple of weeks, oh, then we're not growing the hobby. We're just going to have people who are angry. Very possible. What if those people came in knowing that that was the risk they were taking because they wanted to double their money quick and they knew that there was a potential they'd lose? I don't see a problem with that. Now, it can't be everything, because at base, the card should mean something. But it's all right. The hobby's strong. There are people who are going to do full body workouts and come in and work out every day. And then there's the folks who are going to come in and skip leg day. And guess what? For the gym to stay open, they need the membership dues from both of them. And there's an episode. Talk to you guys soon. Hope you enjoyed this one. A little different. To each their own. Take care, everybody.